Ireland currently has the fourth most ambitious offshore wind expansion programme in the European Union, with the target to build enough new wind farms offshore to generate 5 gigawatts of electricity by 2030. That would be enough electricity for about 2 million homes coming from new wind turbines planted out in the Irish Sea. This is a greater amount of new offshore wind capacity than bigger European countries, including France, Spain, Portugal and Belgium, are planning to build by 2030. Only Germany, the Netherlands and Denmark say they will build more. Our environment correspondent George Lee is here with us. George, the current situation, what is Ireland's offshore wind infrastructure like?
Minuscule is what it is. I mean, we started off about 21 years ago, with the first offshore wind farm in the world in Arklow, with about 7 turbines, which are tiny compared to what they're doing nowadays in terms of their size. They've now run the whole scale of their life. They're about to be decommissioned, really. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, a month or two, they're going to take the blades off them because there are plans for a whole new wind farm out there. So they need to decommission them. But believe it or not, they need to have planning permission to take all that off. And it's going through planning at the moment in relation to taking all the infrastructure there out before they put in some new stuff. So that's where we are. And that would supply about 10,000 houses when it was there, not millions. And we haven't done anything in the meantime, apart from now we're getting ready, the race is on, and a lot of investment is required. So big, big work needs to be done. And in relation to that, the kind of stuff which has been done worldwide is so big, particularly off the UK. So the largest wind farm in the world has been installed in a place called Dogger Bank, which is in the North Sea. It transpires that there's an Irish man who runs a company called Eastgate Engineering. He was based in Waterford, where he set up. That's still his headquarters. And he has got the job, and his company has the job of installing this largest wind farm in the world in Dogger Bank. And he gave me an idea of exactly what's involved here. And this is how he put it.
The towers that come in, they're 111 metres tall. They come in 3 sections. We do all the bolting, tensioning, torquing, all the HV cabling, LV cabling, and everything in between. We also preserve all of the turbines, the nacelles, and to give the context of the size of these are, they're as big as 6 double-decker buses, each one of the turbines. It's a 14 megawatt turbine itself. So essentially it's 277 turbines, which each of which is its own power station. And so our job is to put them all together before loadout. We have electricians, we have mechanical fitters and platers, we have painters, we have rope access technicians, riggers and lifters and drivers and all sorts.
So that's David Brennan telling us what they look like, George. What work needs to be carried out at Irish ports then to allow the expansion of this offshore wind?
An enormous amount of work, really, in all honesty, because the ports really weren't equipped to do anything like this. In the UK, where the thing has taken off at a really fast pace, they had the offshore oil industry, so they had port facilities and so on, so it was easier for them to do it. Our ports are investing now. The Rosslare port is invested quite a lot. They're hoping to have about 2,000 jobs there. They're hoping to have a renewable energy hub built there. The port of Cork, in the middle of expanding their quayside there, a 99 million euro investment with a 200 metre new port quay wall and 35 acres to store some of this stuff so it can be assembled. The port up there in Greenore, a privately owned port by the Doyle Shipping Group, 30 million euro investment, really considered plans. 3 headquarters they're going to build up there so that the companies who will do the maintenance and the operation of these can have their headquarters in that port, and they're going to have little boats going out, 12 boats a day going out with servicemen. So all of that is they're the plans that are in place. Big investment is required, and a lot of ports around the country will be able to get involved, but not in the same scale as assembling them, but maybe in the maintenance and operations and so on. But some of them are not ready, and say the port of Waterford, who sees it as a huge opportunity, you know, they really want to get in on it. They have applications in for planning permission, but they're not ready yet. And this is the managing director of the port of Waterford, David Sinn.
We're practicing, we're developing skills within the port. We're getting all of our employees here used to dealing with energy components, onshore wind, generators, transformers. All of this type of equipment has been handled in the port today, and we will get it ready by putting in a new development. We're expecting to get news shortly from MARA to say that we have a marine area consent to develop another 250 metres of quay, and that's a quay that we will dedicate to the renewables business.
That's David Sinnott in the Port of Waterford. Let's talk jobs, George. How many offshore jobs generated, or I should say jobs generated in the offshore wind developments?
Well, Mary, the potential, I'm told, from everybody involved in this is absolutely enormous. So there was a study done, and it was done by, it was a skills assessment report, and it was done for Green Tech, SkillNet and Wind Energy Ireland. And it says that there are 42 different job areas where they're going to need loads and loads of people. And they're saying that, you know, it's going to be worth a huge amount of money to the economy. There's of the order of, I think it's 60,000 jobs in the construction phase. Maybe in the long run, you're looking, or in the building phase, and in terms of job hours, maybe 8,000 to 9,000 full-time jobs, out as far as you can see. And ultimately, the difficulty is where they're going to get the skills. Every skill, you know, you're even talking about lawyers, accountants. They're saying they're talking about planners, ecologists. They're talking about engineers of all sorts. And really, it's a question of people skills. Up and transferring and getting the required skills to transfer into this offshore type business. So it is considered to be a huge potential boost to a lot of regional and coastal areas, and the people will be able to stay and live in these areas for a long time to come. The training and the adjustment for that is what it's all about. And in the Southeast Technical University, they see that they will have a significant role in training in this area. They're already involved in aerospace engineering and those kind of technical skills. Francis Hardiman is the head of the Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment at the Southeast University campus in Carlow, and this is how she describes it.
We can leverage what we have. We have great skill here. We pump out the best of engineers, technicians, apprentices, and the best planners. We have that. So we're in a very prime position to use that and to build on that. So we're not coming from a low base. We're coming from a very strong base. In terms of research, we're one of the most innovative countries in the world. We're absolutely fantastic at research and innovation in Ireland. So we've a lot going on, and that's across all the universities in this country. So we're in a really strong position to leverage on that. So offshore wind is a new opportunity to capitalise on what we already do well.
Frances Hardiman there from Southeast Technical University, ending that report from George Lee at 9 minutes to 8. We're back with business after this.